Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So long and good riddance to 2018. Welcome to Unfeatured Articles from the Future. Hello and welcome to Unfeatured Articles, the show about finding the weirdest and the most obscure that the internet has to offer. My name is James Keogh.
My name is Curtis Lang.
My name is Riley McNamara.
And this is our first episode of 2019.
Yeah, welcome to the future, boys.
We're here is in it? The future. Yes, January 1st.
Oh shit, I thought it was the 31st.
We did it,
we made it.
What's
happening today.
I think like after last night, you just got so blackout that you just assumed that.
Yeah, sorry. Dude, last night was what?
Oh man, the 31st, our New Year's Eve parties. Where'd you go, man?
I went to the moon.
Oh, sweet. Yep, nice.
And partied with the moon men. David Bowie was there.
Sweet. That's where he went.
Oh,
yeah. Where else?
Where else?
And the Moon Men came a calling.
Nice.
We are recording this a little bit before.
It is a little bit earlier.
We're still in 2018. We're coming to you from the past, but we're talking to you about the future.
Figure that out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, today we are on the Future Wiki.
We are.
It's a wiki that's got like a bunch of hypothetical
future scenarios.
In the form of wiki articles. So and we're going to dive into a bunch of what if scenarios about the world that is to come.
The world to come. It gets so intricate. I love it.
Yeah. All right. It wants to kick us off. Riles, how about you kick us off, big boy?
Riley, me? What have you got?
All right. Well, let's have a look. Let me get my article up so I can remember what I'm doing. Let's talk about Antarctica.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Sorry, just really quickly. Do you know fun fact about Antarctica?
Tell me.
According to Australia, we own the most of it.
That's
but that
true.
Is not recognized by anybody except Taiwan.
Wait, how does
Thank
that
you,
make sense?
Taiwan.
Yeah.
It's just like everyone's just like, what are you talking about? And then Taiwan is just like desperate for he's just like, yeah. I heard that too. Yeah.
No, but yeah. I heard that too.
Because Antarctica's got a whole bunch of oil and resources. I don't know about the Antarctic situation that much. But I do know that Australia is like, yep.
Oh, we own that.
It's definitely ours. So everyone's like, it's fucking not. No, it isn't.
Tell us about Antarctica, okay. Riley.
So, Antarctica, in the future.
What happens?
Well, everybody knows the USA, the United States of America.
I try not to, but yes.
Strap in for the UAS.
UAS.
United Antarctic States.
Oh, okay.
So, in this proposed future scenario, Antarctica is split into 6 different states.
Okay.
And is...
owned by each continent? Or what?
Wow, that's a word.
famously, there are only 6 continents.
Yes. So the United Antarctic States.
Wait. How many continents?
There are 7 continents.
Including
one of which
Antarctica.
Is Antarctica.
Well, I've just gone ahead and fucked this, haven't I?
That's all right.
A little bit.
I've goofed.
We all make mistakes.
We all.
The United.
We don't record. Not all of us record them on podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
The United Antarctic States is a federal constitutional republic comprising of 6 states on the continent of Antarctica.
Got it.
It is the first and only country on Antarctica, and with just under a population of 1 million, it is the smallest country in the world in terms of population, but the largest in terms of area.
Sure.
So this is obviously a hypothetical scenario.
So they've turned Antarctica into a country of 6 states.
Yes.
Wherein 1 million people live.
Yes. So how is
it livable? Because it's not really ATM.
It's quite
chilly.
Well,
it is, but like...
This supposedly kicks off from 2018.
Okay.
So in this hypothetical scenario, it starts in 2018.
Yeah.
Was the last continent on Earth discovered by mankind. That's all pretty normal stuff. Since its discovery until 2016, Antarctica was known as an uninhabitable uninhabited continent used only for research.
Yes.
In the middle 2010s, scientists said that global warming is causing a severe reduction in temperature in Antarctica. Maybe an increase is what they mean, which may make it a habitable place. Basically, global warming got so bad that Antarctica kind of turns into like Sydney.
Oops.
Specifically Sydney.
Yeah.
Is this Sydney?
So 2016, the scientific base of McMurdo, which is the largest base in Antarctica,
like
in real life as well, housed about 1,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
Many people believe that because the conditions in McMurdo would be suitable for housing, they started building
a colony?
Residences and a colony and then a city and a village.
Love it.
Or a village and a city, rather.
Yeah.
So basically, all this stuff just started happening. The article goes into like a lot of the detail of like the timeline of when people moved in and whatever.
Sure.
And apparently there was a war with Chile.
Of course. Why with Chile?
I don't know.
About Antarctica?
I didn't read that part.
I could read it.
Okay.
In
2025, Chile opened two military bases on the Antarctic coast near Weddell, Antarctica. 2029, Chilean president Carla Rubila declared the Antarctic Peninsula a territory of Chile. In response to this, Antarctica ordered the shutdown of military bases.
Oh.
Chile attacked Weddell and Orkney, Antarctica on October 29, 2030, sparking the Chilean-Antarctic War. So basically, it's because Chile moved in and was like, this is ours.
It's ours now.
It's like ours.
What we did.
Yeah,
real life.
Yeah. It's like everything that Britain never did.
It's colonialism.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, Antarctica wasn't having it, so they started a war. Anyway.
Do you reckon it's just because like when all the people living in Antarctica, they were just like, oh, it's so chilly here. And then Chile was just like, no, we're Chile.
No, hold on.
We're called Chile.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's so chilly. It's just like, what are you? That's how it probably
Hey, guys, I've just had a really good idea for a good Tomboy sketch.
Yeah.
Come back to me later.
Good, great. That's fantastic. And what are the provinces, what are the states called?
Okay, so we've got North Antarctica.
Good.
Original.
Athabasca. Don't know. Birdland, spelled B-Y-R-D-L-A-N-D. Birdland. Havlo. Victoria. And my personal favorite, which contains the North Pole.
Yeah.
New bin.
Get rid of the old bin.
Like you went to IKEA and bought yourself a new bin.
All right.
Is that one word or two?
One word.
All right.
New bin.
Anyway, okay. So those are the provinces.
Victoria.
Okay.
Yeah, they just kind of...
Yeah.
A bit uncreative, if you ask me.
Come on, there's like 15 of those now. But they've got an anthem in here. They have a national anthem in here.
Do they have lyrics?
They have lyrics.
Yeah,
Talk to me about those lyrics,
okay,
big boy.
So the anthem is called O Antarctica, My Land. And I will read for you.
Please do.
Now.
Give us an excerpt.
The national anthem is called Antarctica.
Please prepare for a dramatic reading of O Antarctica, My Land by Riley McNamara.
It was officially adopted in 2021. Apparently became popular 3 years prior to that, though.
Oh, sure.
Okay. O Antarctica, my land, your white ice, your sky blue and clear, your bright yellow sun, the ocean around you composed of blue waters, your center covered in snow, represent your unique nature. You may not have trees, but there's beauty. Every snowflake that is in you symbolizes your prosperity. Your people from various cultures coming from all places. Your brave and warlike people.
Ooh.
Not give up the fight. You are at the south end. You is the extreme cold. But you are still perfect. Oh, Antarctica, my land.
Dang.
That's inspirational, so, boys.
I've got a tear rolling down my cheek. I like how the first few lines are just like naming things they see. It's just like...
What is it? It's white. And,
white.
There's not any trees.
And the
like that
sun...
Bit.
And there's a little bit of snow.
There's definitely snow. No trees. But it's still beautiful.
The ocean around
you. Ocean is around it.
Yeah. Let's make a song about a continent.
What was the bit about the snowflakes?
Your snowflakes symbolizes your prosperity.
Of course.
You're brave and warlike people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird addition. Like
I think my favorite bit though is you is the extreme cold.
Yeah.
Cause like it's talked about how
can we get that on a t-shirt?
You is the extreme cold.
He's shaking his head. No. You said yes to Jazz on Noble Steed from My Song Suck, and you're not gonna say yes to you is the noble cold? No.
I can see why.
Now I've got all turned around. I love that.
That is incredible.
I love that with my
I
it's time to move to Antarctica.
Who wrote this? We need to credit the author.
Right.
Yeah, but my favorite bit is, you is the extreme cold. You are at the south end. Like,
I mean, that's just like,
it's basically just geography. Like,
right, exactly.
If someone had to write a poem, like some grade three child.
If someone
child.
Just had to describe what Antarctica is, it's just like, okay, well, it's at the south.
And then brave and warlike people thrown in there for some fun.
Yeah.
So there's a bit about geography and climate in there as well.
Oh, great.
It doesn't actually say anything's changed. It just says that it's the coldest place on Earth. The coldest temperature ever recorded was -89.2 degrees Celsius in Vostok on July 21st, 1983.
Huh.
Which is all, you know,
all well and
the
good.
Fucking
Cause like, past. That's my thing is like, if climate change made it such that it's habitable but didn't melt the ice, isn't that like the whole
like
thing of climate change?
Yeah. And that's,
I thought
like
this guy was a climate change denier. Right. And he was like,
oh, and the quote unquote climate change.
But I want Antarctica to be habitable.
Yeah, but I do want Antarctica.
For this weird headcanon that I've got.
But like, he already had the song written. So all the references to like, it's so cold. Oh, you damn. Are the extreme cold. Oh, but global warming but global kind of. You know, it's more like Hobart now. I mean.
What, still cold.
Yeah, it's Hobart still cold.
Hobart is Chilly Willy Woo, yeah. Let me tell you.
Oh, man. That's
we'll
hilarious.
Start a war with Chile.
Anything Chile? More on Antarctica?
There's some population figures for the provinces. So McMurdo, the capital in Victoria, has approximately, as of the 21-25 census, McMurdo in Victoria has about 215,000 people. Esperanza in Havlo has about 150,000.
Means hope in Spanish. Esperanza.
Does it?
Yeah. I knew that.
Bloody language lesson.
She did some character research, did you, Big Bad Wolf?
In when I did Shrek the Musical and I was the Big Bad Wolf, one of my lines was Esperanza. Which meant hope.
There's this bit where we're all
that's
tango.
Cute as hell.
We're doing that like this tango where we're going like, you're our only hope.
Esperanza.
James is just out the front, just
it
like.
It was great. Role of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Nice one. And
you wore a dress. It was really cool.
It was great.
You might be wondering how everyone gets around on Antarctica.
Of course I am, absolutely.
The answer is high speed rail.
Yes.
Cool. The average speed of the rail is 450 miles an hour. Although their fastest train, the Orange Line, is able to reach speeds upwards of 600 miles an hour.
Whew.
That is
it's a bit
ludicrously fucking fast.
That's speed.
Like, I don't have a conversion, but that's so fucking fast.
That's pretty fast.
It's very fast.
Like 60 miles an hour is 100 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
So therefore 600 miles an hour should be about 1,000 k's an hour.
Woof.
That's fast.
That's pretty fast. According to my calculations, that
gotta
is,
go fast.
According to Sonic, that's fast.
That is pretty fast.
Gotta go fast. Anyway, that's Antarctica in
fantastic.
The future.
I love it.
Starting from now, starting
I'm moving,
from 2018.
Packing my bags.
Memorize that anthem.
I will. I've already got it locked in. Can I talk about my one?
Please.
Yes. Well, talking about fast speeds, I want to talk about how we as a society perfected beyond light speed travel.
Yeah.
Ooh. How did we do it? Well,
please, that bloody train me. In Antarctica.
Yeah, of course.
Fucking Antarctica.
The
train.
First step was Antarctica.
Yeah, that's it.
So this is a scenario called the Chig Human War.
The Chig Human War. Okay.
Cool. And it essentially goes very far into the future when we start like battling with aliens and stuff. And goes very far, but I want to kind of take it back to some sort of immediate future in the next 100 years. To 2101.
Good year. Good vintage.
Good vintage.
Good vintage. 2101.
Great cab molo.
Talking about something called the Bernoullian Force. So, 2101.
Mm-hmm.
Spanish astrophysicist Dr. Ana Bunuel discovered what came to be known as the Bernoullian Force.
Mm-hmm.
There were basically four known forces in physics,
yep.
Two subnuclear forces responsible respectively for alpha and beta decay.
Uh-huh.
There's electromagnetism, which includes light and gravity. And then the fourth one is the Bernoullian force.
Okay.
Oh, so this blog actually discovered that one.
This woman discovered that one. So yeah, Bernoullian force is the fifth generated by thermonuclear reactions. The force has very little effect in our universe.
Uh-huh.
However, effect in our universe, barely detectable. Simultaneously, though, with this discovery of this fifth force, however, she discovered a second universe in point-to-point congruence with our own. The continuum universe differs from the one we're used to in that there are no known quantum effects there. Within that universe, particles may travel as fast as they can be accelerated, and the fifth force exists to accelerate them. Basically, this led scientists all over the world to foresee the advent of faster-than-light communications. By 2107, 6 years later, with the population fast approaching 12 billion, food riots in most countries and a biosphere contaminated by the burning of fossil fuels, the colonization of the solar system was seen as the key to the eventual regeneration and uniting of Earth. So they need to perfect this faster-than-light communication so that they can send people out beyond the solar system so we can continue to have life. Yeet them into the solar system. This is what led to...
Can we get that on a shirt?
Yeet them into the solar system.
Thank you.
Now there we go. That'll sell.
A year later, scientists in a Taiwan laboratory succeeded in transmitting information faster than the speed of light via the continuum universe. So we're using this other universe to transmit particles faster than they can possibly go in our universe and then just like, what, popping them back into where they should be in ours.
Shout out to Taiwan.
They did it. They
back us on Antarctica.
They
do invent faster than light travel.
Taiwan are our boys.
Yeah.
Calculated at traveling nearly 3.26 light years in one Earth day, near instantaneous communications was now possible with the fledgling Mars colony. So we have a Mars colony at this point in time.
Good.
And a lunar colony as well. There was a bit of a controversy about the lunar colony, but you can read into that in your own time.
But now I'm interested. Come on, just give me a brief. Give me a brief.
All right, fine. Where is it? The lunar crisis.
Oh.
In 2074, the Armstrong lunar colony had a population of 452. And then them plus the transients and the workforce of the dozen or so commercial mining bases, that's more than 1,000 humans on the moon, and they all need water.
Yeah.
And so there was this big thing of like they could melt down water ice and filter that into water and then blah, 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 blah. And they're like mining helium-3 and it's blah, 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 blah. It's a big kerfuffle. You can look into it.
It's blah, 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 blah.
I'm here to talk about talking about light speed stuff. So then after we're talking with Mars, a few months later, groundbreaking research based on zero-point field theory led to the activation of the first suspensor field generator in San Francisco. This made artificial gravity fields possible on starships.
My God.
Here we go. We're doing it. This brings us to Eckerly jump theory, ladies and gentlemen.
Tell me about it.
2110, an American theoretical physicist named Dr. Everett Eckerly proposes that instantaneous interstellar travel, nailed it the third time, by which I mean the first time. We'll edit that, right? Yeah. Is possible.
It's gone.
Yeah. Through certain points near a star by passing from this universe to the continuum universe, his theory surmised that for every construct in our universe, there can be created a correspondence particle in the continuum universe. In order for a construct to go into and emerge from the continuum universe without change, it must have some complex machinery to hold everything together and prevent the ship and crew from being disorganized into elementary particles.
You should see the hand gestures that James
there
are making.
There are so many gestures. Correspondence particles can be boosted to speeds faster than light. In fact, to speeds nearly infinite as we measure them.
Mm.
Of course, they cannot emerge into our universe at such speeds. Obviously.
Yeah,
they have to lose their energy to emerge at all. There are severe conditions to entering and leaving the continuum universe. According to the Eckerly jump theory, since the fifth force is created by thermonuclear reactions, generally in stars, a ship may travel through the continuum universe only along precisely defined lines of equipotential flux created by thermonuclear reactions inside active stars. Dr. Eckerly named these lines jump lines. Possible jump lines lie between each two stars. In short, this so-called Eckerly drive allows instant transport between two stars with a jump line. These jump lines form entry and exit points to the continuum universe.
This is so fucking in-depth.
So right? You have to fly into a star.
Into the trajectory between two stars.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's like how... All right, so you know hyperspace in Star Wars?
Mm.
Yep. The way that they do that is that there are written routes between hyperlanes, they're called.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
However,
in between two stars.
Instead of maneuvering around the stars, they're going directly in these lines that exist with boosted kind of thermonuclear energy.
Yeah.
Because you're basically going into the stars. However, you're going into the quantum universe.
Yeah.
Inside these stars, which have the continuum universe, sorry, which have the energy to go at beyond light speed and then returning. They did it, of course, in 2115. A consortium of scientists from the European Federation and Japan, led by Eccoli, succeeded in creating the Eccoli Drive propulsion engine. The next year, using an Eccoli Drive, the United America's Space Agency spaceship Bennuel, oh, it's named after the doctor who proposed it, made the first interstellar flight to Alpha Centauri by getting to a proper jump point within the solar system and turning on the drive. Energy was used, the ship vanished, and reappeared in an instant at a jump point in Alpha Centauri 4.39 light years away. With this scientific breakthrough, the problem of travel between star systems was reduced to the problem of travel within star systems. With this tremendous technological advancement, around the world discussion began about the eventuality of interstellar colonial expansion, in which people would seek to escape from the troubles of Earth to the new frontier.
Okay, so when you say the problem no longer became between star systems, but in a star system.
Yes.
So they still had to travel.
They still had to travel when
to
they
the
were.
To the point. Because it takes like 3 years to get to Mars, right?
Yes.
So they still had to do that. But then like hypothetically, they traveled 4 years to the first hyperline, but then they could travel in an instant to the next one.
So when you're traveling within like the solar system or something like that, you have to go normal speed.
Right.
But once you're going between stars in different star systems, you can instantaneously jump.
This is really interesting.
It's so in depth. Yeah. I love it. So they were like, oh, well, we can just, you know.
It's a little similar to Mass Effect. Actually.
It is. I was going to say.
Yeah. The Mass Effect trilogy. Yeah.
However, the notion of escaping from Earth and colonizing the new frontier, this happening soon, was disregarded by every government on Earth to be unnecessary at that time and far too expensive. Yet several of Earth's larger corporations began to fund space exploration efforts, mostly with space probes.
Elon Musk Jr.
They Elon Musked it. This gave way to a rapid increase in the power and influence of multinational corporations. So, So this is government restrictions giving rise to these corporations becoming government figures. Oh my gosh.
Love this.
I'm going to spend a lot of time on this page.
This is just space Game of Thrones.
Yeah. They were not defined by country, society, or ideology. In industry, in business, and in the media, the multinationals became ever more powerful and more visible. The Aerotech Corporation was the most prominent company formed during this period. And so it goes on and time goes on. And, well, I guess the corporations take over and it's a capitalist nightmare. Who knows? I haven't read that far. But that's the invention of...
Readers,
so giving listeners. Rise to this space exploration...
Yeah.
Meant that, yeah, there was this massive capitalist takeover. Be warned, everyone. Be warned, us in 2018, 2019.
Because the capitalists aren't in control already.
I mean, yeah.
Exactly.
You seem to have an opinion here. I don't...
Vote Greens 2019. Now, shall I get onto mine?
Please.
Lovely. Speaking of politics...
Oh, here we go.
Oh, boy.
I have found a Future article that was written... A little bit in the past.
Sure.
So it was written in 2015, I believe.
Okay.
Just after both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump had announced their candidacy for the president of the United States.
Got it.
Ooh.
And so this is a hypothetical 2016 election period and the inauguration of the hypothetical 45th president of the United States.
Sure.
So it actually goes all the way to the 50th president of the United States, but I'm only going to... do the 45th because we don't have time for this nonsense.
No. Well.
Actually, I'm going to do the 45th and the 46th because they kind of tie into each
other.
Okay,
I like it.
Right. Now, in the 2016 US presidential election, it was one of the most chaotic in history. It was.
That was true.
Yes.
A total of four candidates received electoral votes for the first time in US history. So usually it's just two, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But four of them this time. The four candidates to receive electoral votes were Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
Ted Cruz.
Yep.
Donald Trump. And Mimi Saltsiuk, who I believe was the chairman. He's the co-chairman of the Socialist Party.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, Clinton received 273 votes, which was enough to win the U.S. presidential election.
Okay, so Clinton won.
Okay. I wish, right? Who? Despite most states leaning Republican, the Republican National Committee took Texas Senator Ted Cruz over New York Senator Donald Trump. Trump, who is mad at the Republican Party for not picking him, ran as a third party candidate.
Oh.
Polls during the presidential bids remained nearly equal between Cruz and Trump nearly the whole way. All the way until election night, when election night came, Cruz narrowly edged out Trump for second place by 9 electoral votes with 135. Trump had 126 electoral votes and a third place finish. Mimi Solcik, the co-chairman of the Socialist Party, became the first non-independent third party candidate to ever win electoral votes, winning the electoral votes of Vermont and one vote from Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of words in there about American politics.
Sure.
Not even America understands how the election system works. Yeah, so don't even try. Ted Cruz's running mate was Kentucky Senator Rand Paul.
Okay.
Donald Trump's picked California actor Charlie Sheen.
Of course.
As his running mate. Good. Socialist Party co-chairman Mimi Solcik picked Wisconsin's Angela Walker as his running mate.
Uh-huh.
The winning candidate, this is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
Secretary of State picked her husband, Bill Clinton.
Bill Clinton.
42nd president of the United States, Bill Clinton, as her vice president. So Bill Clinton became the first person to ever hold the title of president, vice president, and first husband in his life, in a lifetime. Bill Clinton also became the first person to have the title of first husband due to Hillary Clinton becoming the first female US president.
Mm-hmm.
In her first weeks as president, Hillary Rodham Clinton was sworn in as the 45th president of the United States at noon on Friday, January 20th, 2017. Her first weeks as president passed several laws, including a renewal of Obamacare and a reinitiation of the Patriot Act.
Okay.
So the Patriot Act was a bunch of laws that increased. I'm not going to go too far into it because my severe left leaning might come out. It was just a bunch of stuff about like security, post 9/11 stuff.
Sure.
Right. Hillary promises not to change much from Obama's term as president.
Mm-hmm.
President Hillary Clinton was killed in an ISIS-inspired attack by Hussein Sultan, an Iraqi immigrant to the US.
Oh, dang.
He was criminally charged and was given the death penalty. Hillary Clinton's vice president, Bill Clinton, becomes president.
Oh.
Setting numerous records in the field of presidents.
So he's back.
He's back, baby.
He's back in.
Bill Clinton became the second president to ever serve non-consecutively, the only president since 1945 to serve for more than 8 years, and became the third oldest man to ever be sworn in as US president. And he was sworn into the office as the 46th president of the United States at 1 p.m. on February 8th, 2017. So Hillary didn't even last like a month.
Right. Before she got assassinated.
Yeah, it was 3 weeks.
Huh.
Jeez.
This swearing in made Bill Clinton the second ever president to serve 2 non-consecutive terms. The first move Clinton made was to close schools for the day as the death of a U.S. president in office warranted it. He renewed several tax breaks from previous administrations. And finally, in May 2017, Clinton passed the Guns Act, which increased security at public and private events in an attempt to prevent similar events from occurring again.
Right.
In late 2017, Congress approved Clinton's proposal to declare war on ISIS, which was announced by Speaker of the House Paul Ryan on the date of September 17th, 2017. Military forces were immediately deployed into Iraq and airstrikes began over ISIS-controlled areas of Iraq. Early in the war, the US was low on manpower for the war, and even with NATO helping to fight against ISIS, they could not defeat them. Clinton, despite highly despising military drawings, supported the movement to do a military, drafting.
Yeah.
Conscription.
Mm-hmm.
And issued it as an executive order in January 2018. In March 2018, Congress attempted to impeach Bill Clinton again.
Oh, good.
With a bill in Congress. The Republicans-controlled Congress voted on the bill, but the newly founded Socialist Party behind Senator Mimi Solcik were able to stop a Clinton impeachment by a small margin of votes. Clinton was not impeached, and the Republicans suffered a major defeat in Congress by a vote of 53-47.
Oh, dang.
A successful military draft technique from Clinton ultimately won a war against ISIS, but troops and advisors were sent to help establish a fair, equal Iraqi government.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton also passed a bill that would leave troops stationed in Iraq through to 2025. The Clinton presidency then grew increasingly quiet in 2019, as most of the big events from Clinton's presidency were over. Clinton had a peaceful second half of his term, filling in for his wife. During the 2020 presidential campaign, Clinton threw his support behind his vice president, former Minnesota Senator Al Franken.
Al Franken.
Wasn't he the guy? I'm not too sure who that is.
Okay.
I remember the name from some not very nice news articles. Anyway,
sure.
Former Minnesota Senator Al Franken for the 2020 Democratic nominee.
Right.
Anyway, I'm just going to run through.
Please.
The 47th U.S. president was Jeb Bush.
Oh, okay.
And the 48th U.S. president was Joaquin Castro from Texas.
Ooh.
So, yeah. It says it goes to... this is an unfinished article. It's an unfinished article.
Look here.
So it's still being contributed to.
Yeah.
So it's going to go all the way to 50 eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think that's a big thing on this wiki. Like a lot of people contribute to stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
Where they kind of like have communities and they figure out like this timeline of events and stuff.
Workshop the future.
And they go really in depth as we saw with like yours.
Yeah.
That was some heavy science fiction theory.
I liked it. It was good.
It was great. Anyway.
Fantastic.
That's the future.
That's the future.
That's everything to the future.
Into the future.
Bill Clinton's president.
Yes.
At the moment. And
we're all in Antarctica.
We're all in Antarctica. And
we're sorely awaiting the...
Benulians.
Yes. Yes.
The Nudians.
Do we want to end with the game?
You have a game?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I love a game.
Great. This one, it's all about timelines. I've been looking for a good timeline. I think I'm settling on there is a future called the Infinity Warfare future.
Infinity War.
Ooh.
Bloody.
Yeah, it's where Thanos just comes in. And it's some sort of scenario of the future.
Yeah.
A lot of these scenarios have timelines of just year by year what happens. So we're going to play what year did this happen?
I love it.
It's not the catchiest title, but it does what it says on the tin.
What year did this happen? What year did it happen? What year did this happen? Oh, what year did it happen?
That's like that. That was sexy.
There we go.
Thank you.
That's good.
Right.
Okay.
I wanted to do a song every episode this season, but I kept forgetting.
You did most.
I did a couple.
I did most.
I did a few. This wasn't a season anyway. There's been like...
This was...
10 episodes?
Some. This? I don't know.
Who knows?
I've not been counting.
Not me neither.
Yeah.
Six or seven,
according to Zane. There
you go. Well,
yeah, enough.
Let's play the game.
We've got announcements after this game. Now,
so Infinity Warfare takes place from 2019 up until 2077. So I'll be naming things from any point between then and then, between 2019 and 2077. Let's see. Let's start us off. What year did Dwayne Johnson for the Democrats win the US presidential election against Mike Pence? What year did that happen?
Oh, that's got to be 2020.
2020, baby.
That's 2024.
Oh.
Yep.
What happened in 2020? Okay, never mind.
2020. I'll say, because I'll do...
Yeah?
2020, Donald Trump and Mike Pence wins re-election. They got reelected.
I don't believe it.
Not
for a fucking second do I believe that.
I don't like this future.
That happens. Like... I'm out. I'm fucking done. I'm done. Like...
Okay.
Why do we care so much? Because, I mean, it affects the rest of the world. All right, I'm not doing this.
Another podcast. A politics podcast or something.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Oh, boy. What year did Greece leave both the Eurozone and the European Union?
Leave or get kicked out?
Leave.
Okay.
So it says here.
2034.
2028.
2023.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that far off.
Not that far off. 5 years. Five good years.
Five.
Hold on, Greece.
Yeah.
Hold on, baby. A bit, like. We're in it for you.
Yeah. Okay.
What's Greece's exit name? There's Brexit. What's?
Greg. That's just a guy called Greg just leaving. Here's my Grexit. Hi, guys. It's been a fun party, but now it's time for my Grexit.
yep.
What year was Korea reunified under the South Korean government? So North Korea, South Korea, they came together underneath
2022.
2027.
2036. Oh, we kind of split the difference.
I was too hopeful.
Yeah.
I was still too hopeful.
Yeah.
Ooh, all right. Got a couple more.
Yeah.
What year did Australia become a republic after a referendum?
2019. We can do it, baby. I'm getting really political. I'm sorry.
2021.
2028.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah.
I can live with that.
Lastly, but certainly not leastly, what year was the first Fortnite World Cup?
Oh, 2018.
2018.
It's 2019. So, I mean, obviously, we haven't had it yet. So, it's coming.
It's 2019 now. Yeah. Why do we say 2018?
I don't know.
It's coming up tomorrow. It's still
2018. I hope you guys are ready. Are you guys prepping? Are you guys prepping?
It is currently 9:51 p.m. on the 28th of December 2018.
I'm getting in my rounds, my Victory Royales.
I've
just
already started drinking.
I'm just flossing all the time, getting ready for the Fortnite World Cup. Let's do this.
Let's do it, baby.
Let's do this, baby.
What was the play on? PC, Switch, PS4?
Does not specify, but probably PC.
Yeah.
That year also, despite a sharp decline in players last year, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds received several new updates that improved the game significantly, and the player base begins to slowly increase. I love that that's included alongside, like, and Greece leaves the European Union. Like,
Australia becomes a republic.
Yeah.
And PUBG gets half decent.
And PUBG gets some more
hey,
players.
Hey, yo, way, yo. You know, like PUBG?
Nah.
Oh. It's so much better than Fortnite, and I'll fight anyone who says otherwise.
Okay, Zane's nodding his head. It must be.
Oh.
Yes.
I hate how little what my word means around here.
I love you. I cherish
okay.
you.
Okay. All right.
Hope you guys are ready for the third Sino-Japanese war in 2043.
I'm not. 2043?
2043.
I plan to be dead by then.
Okay. All right. Well, stay tuned for that.
year does that happen?
Yeah. What's that?
What year does that happen?
Yeah. Hold on. Let's see.
2019, if my mental health has anything to
Curtis
do about it.
Curtis is murdered. I'll leave that one up to speculation.
Did everyone breeze past my really fucking rough bit just then?
I heard it. Fuck. Didn't know what to do.
I do forget we're recording a podcast sometimes. Forget that this is just going out into the internet.
Yeah, well. Yeah. Anyway, you can all vote on the year of Curtis's death on our Facebook page. Just let us know what year you think
it is. What year would you like it to happen?
Yikes. but till then, thank you so much for listening. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
We are coming back next week for one more episode in this little interstitial season.
Yes.
That we've got. And we're going to do one more, and then we're going to take a little bit of a break for a while, and then come back probably, I believe, we're talking about the end of January. It'll be the 22nd or the 29th of January. Because we always drop on a Tuesday.
Always on a Tuesday. Always might drop be on a Tuesday. Late January, maybe early February. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
But we will see you then. We'll see you next week. Our theme song, of course.
Spookatorian Friends.
Spookatorian Friends by Kevin MacLeod. Many thanks. Do you guys have anything to plug?
No.
Nothing.
Have a wonderful 2019, everybody. And we'll be there
Right
alongside you. Till next time, browse responsibly.
Okay, so you find yourself in a rustic tavern. It's lit by a fire and a half and a grumpy-looking bartender.
And I roll to crime.
What?
I roll to crime.
Oh, crime. I'm proficient. I assist.
Sweet. I roll to crime with advantage.
Okay, all right. What crime exactly are you committing?
To steal the hearts of everyone listening to us right now.
No, I take it back.
Law & Disorder is a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast where the worst kind of people team up to rid the world of slightly more worse people. It's a whole thing.
We're not the worst.
Follow us on iTunes or on your podcatcher of choice. Find us online at thatsnotcanonproductions.com or find Law & Disorder on Facebook and Twitter. And now, on with the game.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.